From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. The Republican-controlled House has passed a payroll tax cut extension on a near party-line vote. House Speaker John Boehner says it does just what's needed.
The House passed a bill that extends the payroll tax credit, extends and reforms our unemployment insurance program, protects Social Security, and does all of this without job-killing tax increases.
But the bill has no chance in the Senate.
A pointless partisan exercise. The bill is dead on arrival.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says a mandate in the bill to start work on a controversial oil pipeline President Obama wants to delay is Republican ideological candy. Most Democrats also want the wealthiest Americans to pay a small tax surcharge to cover the bill's cost, something Republicans say is a non-starter. Multiple bomb explosions have damaged an oil pipeline in southern Iraq and set off a huge fire. NPR's Kelly McEvers reports from Baghdad. The attack comes as U.S. forces are in the process of leaving Iraq for good.
Officials say at least two bombs went off at the Rumaila oil field just south of the port city of Basra. The oil field is being developed by British Petroleum and China National Petroleum Corporation. Officials say production at the field was cut in half and that it will take at least a week to do repairs. The oil ministry says overall exports won't be affected. In October, two bombs at Rumaila pipelines also cut that field's output by half. Iraq is dependent on oil exports for nearly all of its revenue. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Baghdad.
The FBI director heads to Capitol Hill to testify today before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Robert Mueller is likely to field questions on a wide range of issues. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports the FBI is at the center of cybercrime and national security efforts.
No major fireworks are expected for Director Mueller, who's got support from lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle. But his Senate testimony could highlight the vast footprint of the FBI on everything from changing the definition of rape in crime reports to the wisdom of provisions in a defense authorization bill about detention of terrorism suspects. Lately, the FBI has also made a big push to detect and prevent cyber threats. Authorities are also considering whether the Bureau should move from the cavernous J. Edgar Hoover building in downtown Washington into larger, more modern digs in the nearby suburbs. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
At least two of three men charged in an alleged hazing case at Florida A&M University expect to plead not guilty. Attorney Eric Abrahamson says his client, James Harris, was not involved in any beating of Bria Shante Hunter.
In fact, I think the evidence in the police report shows that my client tried to stop the alleged abuse from occurring.
The incident in which Hunter's leg was broken occurred weeks before another FAMU marching band member died after what officials believe was hazing. This is NPR. More than 160 Occupy Wall Street participants are due in court today in New York City. More than 300 arrested are expected in court altogether this week. California Governor Jerry Brown says the state's economy is improving, but not enough to avoid almost $1 billion in new budget cuts. John Myers of member station KQED reports that more cuts are likely on the way.
The state budget Governor Jerry Brown signed into law 6 months ago contained a unique provision, a series of automatic spending cuts if tax revenues came up short. On Tuesday, Brown announced a portion of those cuts will kick in on January 1st. That includes cuts to education and health and human services.
These cuts, they're not good. This is not the way we'd like to run California.
Governor Brown said the state budget he will propose next month will likely include additional cuts. Brown hopes to balance that with a $7 billion tax increase, one he wants voters to approve next November. For NPR News, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
If you had to ask, you probably couldn't afford any of it. The late Elizabeth Taylor's jewelry fetched a record-setting $115 million at auction in New York City last night.
For clients, for collectors, for jewelry dealers, for private individuals to bid in three and four and multiples of bids, there alone it gave you a sense of the strength of the room, the energy in the room, and the magic of Miss Taylor.
Rahul Kadakia is head of jewelry for America at Christie's Auction House. Beyond that, he said it didn't hurt that the film star's jewels were stunning, including a diamond ring Richard Burton bought for Taylor that sold for nearly $9 million. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.